Well, our next reader you've already seen up here twice tonight. I didn't realize that you were one of the co-founders of Typewriter Girls, which is kind of awesome. One of the wonders of the internet is that you can know about a literary group in a city across the country. She has traveled the furthest to be here with us tonight. She's come here from Pittsburgh, PA. So how's it going downtown?
I really do a terrible Yinzer accent. I'm so sorry.
It's all right.
I could try to read one of my poems. It would just all end up being about baloney and washing things.
That's what life is about. So
you've got to rent up your room, wash your dishes, watch some Stillers. Okay, that's all I got. That's your
excellent. So from the home of the Talking Heads, please welcome Margaret Bashar.
So this the first poem I'm going to read is actually from my most recent chapbook, which is back on the table back there with Gio. And Beth, actually, when you read, I thought of this poem because I swear I planned to read my creepy poem about my Catholic friend before you got up on stage. So one of the nice things about being a poet is you can write really creepy poems about your friends, and then you change the names, and they're like, is that about me? You're like, I don't know. So this poem is titled, Claire Writes a Letter to the Demon Hunter Upon Learning of the God Dimension. I will always remember the night you slapped my ass. Third floor, 27th room of the haunted hotel. I was 22, and yes, I did want it. But it has been 6 years, and still, I can only admit this after 3 a.m. and too much of what I thought I swore off. When I held my hands like the virgins and married the Black Sea. And now, wormwood eating itself into my blood, the smell of all I have ever lied at the back of my tongue, I think of you, of how very small I am, of how many more dimensions I could travel through if only I could stop casting spells on everyone I meet. I know when I snake into the halls of the haunted hotel, teeth gleaming. It is only a matter of time before I brew another pot of something to eat away at my skin, to peel off all the makeup I wear, and show that I am still that naked girl covered in mud, that I have not changed in the least. There is no shaman, no road woman, no man reincarnated 14 times with hands dry as old paper, no surgeon, no vow. That can root out the sliver of the hotel's wall I carry under my skin. My heart has grown around it. I think of you when I realize this. I wonder what you would think of the dreams I have where I sleep on a floor of this hotel that does not exist, lit red and full of death. I imagine you once sprinkled salt in a circle around me while I pretended to sleep. I imagine you know the shapes of all the shadows that nip at my ears, and I do not even need to tell you of them. I imagine you have told me what to do about my evil eye, what prayers to say, which saints to pray to the hardest. I imagine that my head splits open in front of you, and inside is absolutely nothing. This next poem is for my friend Julie. When I write poems about her, she's a bird of paradise. So this poem is titled, The Bird of Paradise Comes to Claire in a Dream. You and I are the same creature, girl. We both carry these harps on our backs, small hands pressing our flesh from inside. You have feathers just like me, a list of names to worry like a bruise on your soft palate. Read the words nailed to these stairs. Pray them for me, little sister. My throat froze long ago, legs too stiff to shake off carpet beetles. Tuck my slender head beneath your pillow. I will teach pronunciation while you sleep. You charge down this hall, and I am watching you, bare-legged bedsheet ghost. If this old hotel catch fire, I know your feet will not fail you. Out the door, before your own hot breath grabs you, before your struck match hits the ground. And so Kelly has this good luck hoodie where the it's her hoodie that when she wears it, like, her poems get accepted. And it must have rubbed... I'm vouching for the hoodie right here because she wore the hoodie and then one of my poems got accepted while I was just sitting in the room near the hoodie. I didn't have to be wearing the hoodie. So I'm going to read that poem. You are not the one I call when I am down and out. You so ungentle, body burning up. You are coal and wood and tar. You are everything flammable. Napalm and sugar in a closed fist swung toward my jaw. I will ride your punch as long as I can, but I am only foxfire, will-o'-the-wisp girl to lead you down to the marsh when the moon is new, when you cannot read the constellations. I will watch your feet sink in it, the hiss and sputter of your skin. I will paint you with the mud's stink, swirled patterns on your cheek, your forearm. I will quench this burning with earth. When I am gone, when I have left you smoldering between cypress trees, their Spanish moss, you will see all the maps I have left behind for you. They are everywhere, darling. And these next two poems that I'm going to read, which will actually be the last two poems that I read that are just being read by me, are actually from a collection of poems that I wrote with the poet Lauren Eggert Crowe. Having never actually met her in person when we decided we were going to write these poems together. And they are based on this Eastern Orthodox text called The Ladder of Divine Ascent. Interestingly, we had also never read The Ladder of Divine Ascent when we wrote these poems, and they are actually simply based on the titles of the chapters. So I don't know if that makes us more awesome or less awesome. But there are 30 chapters, and so there are 30 poems, and each poem is titled after a chapter. And so I'm going to read first one of Lauren's poems, and then I'm going to read the poem that I wrote that follows it directly. And this is On Talkativeness and Silence by Lauren Eggert Crowe. Biting the words, biting the fig, each tossed sentence a half-chewed fruit. None grow. The mouth is still, but never still. I eat the silence and its consequence. I keep my hands folded at my lap. There's a list of what not to. I am holier each time I do not touch you. Dear, sitting with you is like Lent. This is On Lying. Your olive wood rosary touched to Gethsemane and Golgotha, looped at my wrist, ache of lips chewed bright. My breath still on this balcony, still overlooking train tracks and coal cars, the stick of your skin, anise on your fingertips. The answer to every question you have ever asked me is yes. But I can't stop screaming no. And I'm going to read one final poem, and this will also be with Kelly, if she will come back up so we can read one more poem. And this is, again, from the series of poems that we're writing together that seem to somehow be about this character who has of yet not let us know what her name is. Delirium Huntress.
When she complained about the wolverine teeth, he removed them, explaining only that there are certain afflictions associated with living in the forest. No matter how costly, no matter how finely wrought.
Her armor. Spells were cast over her each evening before she pulled on her boots, tied up her long hair, and armed herself with 8 small knives, with strips of wet rawhide for binding each.
Beast. Which would inevitably offer itself to her. Half men that wished only for the astonishment of her uncaged fingers, cold as twigs after frost, though she only desired the unspelled, the defanged.
With their dumb eyes, their hands like milky glass. She always knew placing her feet in front of her would someday bring her to a space she did not know. A clearing where the ground is hard, where the
very basics of anatomy are ignored, where what should be glorious, what would be a shambling monster crawling toward her, and in that forest of regret, she would set him alight, her body finding warmth in his burning blue flame.
His screams, a song. But she was a girl who ran to these things, who could step across the fresh, frozen lake, fire an elephant gun, and not flinch. She knew it didn't matter who taught her this forest, man, woman, or beast.
But when the dogwood trees refused to blossom, she returned his teeth, a rail of fences grown around her reservations. Traced the bristling road, both of them snagged in traps of their own making. She ran her fingers through his coat, picking out the burrs.
To tuck them into her shirt, to wear them against her skin till they rubbed her raw. She never gnawed her ankles, knew all girls have their own survival kit. This piece to build a fire, and this to keep dry in the rain, and this, and this, and this. Thank you.